the shepherd. Now, Psalms chapter 23 is 6 verses, and many people will say that it is the most known and quoted chapter in the entire Bible. Many of you know Psalms 23. If you don't know it word for word, you could probably guess most of it. This chapter has often been recited at funerals and in some of the hardest moments in people's lives, they think about these words. Why? Because of all the illustrations that we have of our Lord, of all the different ways that the Bible tells us about who God is, one of the easiest and one of the most understanding ways is for us to picture Him as our shepherd. This morning, I want us to think about the Lord as our shepherd. And if He is a shepherd, then you and I, we need to clearly understand that we are the sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see a whole lot of shepherds walking around here in Fulton County. But of course, history shows that a shepherd was a very popular job. It was a common job. And in the Old and New Testament in the Bible, we see the importance of shepherds. Now, I won't say that being a shepherd was a well-paying job. Often, it was the youngest son. It was that least of those people who'd be put in the position of a shepherd. But I promise you, even though it wasn't in high demand, it was very important. See, this shepherd was responsible for taking care of the sheep. Now, sheep is not known for being the smartest animal in the world. A sheep is not easy to lead. But it was a shepherd's job to take care of the sheep, to lead the sheep, to care for them, and to make sure no harm would come to them. Church, this morning, in the same way, the shepherd and the sheep is very important for us to understand. And I pray as we look at Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 this morning, we can understand no matter what we're facing this morning, no matter if our hearts are full or if our hearts are low, we can be thankful for the shepherd. If you have Psalms 23, I'd ask you to stand in honor of reading God's word. And this morning, we will not read the entire chapter. We will only look at one verse, Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, speak to hearts. Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, that, Father, you will touch. Lord, you will nourish. Lord, Father, you will care for only how you can. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, we will focus on the first 5 words of that verse. Very simple, but very important. The Lord is my shepherd. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. This morning, we're going to break that down and we are going to look at it because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read scripture, I kind of get in a hurry. Maybe I have things to do. Maybe my mind is wandering. And instead of really focusing on what the Word of God has to say, I kind of speed read. And what happens is when I do that, I am not slowly eating the Word spiritually like I should. And you might say, well, eating the Word, what do you mean? God wants you and I to spiritually be nourished by the Word of God. But the only way that we can be spiritually nourished is if we take the time to study the Word of God, to pray over the Word of God, and to allow the Word of God to be processed in our hearts, minds, and souls. So this morning, we are going to look at 4 things about this verse. The first thing we'll see is He is preeminent. I want us to focus on the first 2 words of this, the Lord. Now, the word preeminent means above all. If I say the Lord is preeminent, then what I am saying is God is not one of the ways to heaven. God is not one of the creators. God is not one of the heads. He is the head. And the first thing that we have to understand, the first thing that we can be thankful for, is I do not have to worship a whole list of gods. I worship one God. In a lot of cultures, do you know that there's more gods than you can ever even remember? Every different thing. There are gods of the storms. There are gods of the water. There's gods of this and gods of that. But what we believe is there's not different gods. There's not levels of gods. There's one. The Lord is enough. There's no one equal. He didn't need any help. When we look at creation in Genesis 1 and 2, God did not need anyone to support him. He created everything out of nothing on his own. He is above all else. There is no one equal. And church, if we do not understand this, if we do not understand that the Lord is above all, then nothing else we talk about this morning matters. We have to understand that he is set apart. He is different. There is only one Lord. The Bible says that his ways are mysterious. And yes, there are many things about the Lord that you and I cannot understand. Why? Because his ways are higher than our ways. But what we see this morning is the Lord loves us. Now remember who wrote this psalm. Psalm 23 was written by a man named David. David was a huge figure in the Old Testament. He'd become the second king of Israel. And David himself, long before he was a king, he was a young man in a large family. And because he was the youngest boy, he became the shepherd. And later on, we believe when he was king, David wrote these words. And he talked about how the Lord was his shepherd. And he understood what it meant to be a shepherd, because he was a shepherd. He understood what it meant to lead sheep, because he once had led sheep. But more than that, David, being a faithful follower of the Lord, understood who God was. David, in all of his ups and downs in life, in all the twists and turns, he understood that God was above him in all ways. You and I, we have to understand that. Sometimes Satan will whisper to us and say, you know what? Man, you're equal to God. You have as much control of your life as God does. You are your own God. We live in a culture that tells us that we are our God. We are the head of what we do. Listen to me, church. That's a lie from Satan. We are not God. Yes, we have control. And we have control to put our life in a bad situation. Can I get an amen? It's not always good that we're in control. What we have to remember is even though we have free will, even though we have some control, man, there's a God who's watching the whole time. There's a Lord who is looking and caring and loving us in all situations. The second thing that we see this morning is he is present. I want us to focus on the word is. Now, this is very important. You might say, well, Tyler, I don't understand why this matters. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord will be my shepherd. Look here. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't need help tomorrow. I don't need help yesterday. You know when I need help? Right now. I need help in this very moment. And often we view God as a God of the past. Well, he's helped me before. He was there for me before. Or maybe we view God as a God of the future. Well, I know he'll be there. I know he'll love me. He'll care for me. But sometimes if we're not careful, we forget, we overlook the fact that the Lord is our shepherd in the now. And you might say, well, Tyler, I'm in the valley right now. I'm in a rough place. I'm going through some hard times. Are you telling me that the Lord is with me in my trials? Yes. David himself faced low times. David, the man who became the second king, the man that led Israel under God's leadership to the highest that Israel has ever been, he was a man who understood the low times of life. He was a man who had to hide in caves to not be killed by King Saul. He was a man who committed adultery and killed the husband of Bathsheba. David was a man who the Bible says walked with the Lord closer than anyone else. But he was also a man who walked away from the Lord. And yet in all of that, David understood that the Lord is his shepherd. Church, this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter the trial, no matter if life is great or if life is not great or somewhere in between, I want you and I to remember that he is with us. He is our shepherd. We have to remember that, because if we're not careful, man, we forget. Psalms 46:1 is a beautiful verse. It tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that word, present. He is a present help in our trouble. In the middle of our storm, in the middle of our heartbreak, in the middle of what we're going through, he is our refuge. Listen, do not be deceived by the enemy. When you're heartbroken, I want you to remember that God is right there with you. God doesn't need you to put the pieces together to come worship him. Do you know that God loves you when all the pieces are broken? That's the God that you and I serve. The third thing that we see this morning is he is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Focus here on my. Now, I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. And here I'm speaking for my wife. If you go to a sporting event, we just got done with football season, and if you watched our son make a play, you're going to hear my wife scream. Now, I'm not talking a little scream. I'm talking you're going to hear her all over Salem, Arkansas. Why? Because that's her son. Because she cares about her son. And yes, she cares about your children, and she gets happy, and I hear her holler when she sees something on Facebook, but it is a different level when it's her son. Do you understand that's the relationship that God has with us? The same way that you view that as your child, the same way that you love your child, God views you as his. He views you in that way. You are his child. And what we have to understand is on the other side of that, he's our shepherd. He's my shepherd. See, often we come to church and we sing songs and we read the word and we take out the personal relationship between us and God and we say, oh, that God, he's a good Lord. He's a good creator. And we forget that he is our creator. He is our Lord. He is our help in the troubled times. And what we have to understand this morning is the reason we can be thankful is not because he's your God, but because he's my God. What we have to understand is on a personal level, on a one-on-one level, he is our shepherd. Listen. One of the reasons why we don't praise God more is because we forget how personal it is. We forget that the Lord is a personal God. Now, I want you to think about this relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. This shepherd would smell like sheep. Why? Because he was around them. He was constantly taking care of them. He was constantly making sure they were safe. He was leading them. He was guiding them. He put his life on the line so that those sheep was safe. And in the same way, the Lord is so close to you and I that guess what? He smells like us. And you might say, well, hold on. What do you mean, Tyler? If you come to my house, and if you go to my son's bedroom, his blankets stink. They smell like wet dog. You know why? Because a big old dog sleeps in his bed every night. And he's not ashamed of it. He's not here, so I'm picking on him. But he looks like a burrito. He wraps himself in the dog in blankets like a burrito. And because of that, his blanket, his entire room smells like dog. And he's not ashamed of it. Why? Because he's not ashamed of his dog. If we love God the way we should, when our life looks like God, when our actions look like God, when our words sound like the words coming from the Bible, we will not be ashamed of that. Why? Because we're not ashamed of Him. He's our Lord. He's our shepherd. Church, it needs to be personal. It needs to be something that, yes, we publicly share it. Yes, we worship as a body of believers, but we also worship one-on-one between us and our Lord. He is my shepherd. Let's focus on that word this morning. He is protective. The Lord is my shepherd. When I think about this, I think about John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus himself, who is proclaimed the Alpha and the Omega, who is proclaimed to be the Son of Man, also called himself the shepherd. But if you study John chapter 10, and we heard it earlier as Miss Pam read it, there's many shepherds out there in this world. Jesus said that there are false shepherds. There are false teachers. There are those who come. Why? Because they want the sheep. Do you know that there are shepherds coming for your children? And you might say, Tyler, I don't live in fear. I'm not telling you to live in fear. I'm telling you to live with your eyes open. Turn on television. Go to social media. The other day, my wife sent me something, and just like we have Awana, just like we have different things for our kids, in Connecticut, I'm not talking somewhere across the world, in Connecticut, they're having a community Satan club. And you might say, well, that's never going to come here. Hold your breath. It's coming everywhere. What we have to understand is we need to live in such a way where we hear one voice, and that's the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd. But here's the thing. The more the sheep follows the shepherd, what does the sheep recognize? His voice. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want this question to be a private question between you and the Lord. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, would you recognize His voice? And you might say, well, Tyler, I'm saved. I know I'm His. That's not the question. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, would you recognize His voice different than the other voices of this world? The truth is, there's times in my life where I can say, yes, I would. Because I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm in His Word. I'm praying. I am plugged in to Him. But there's other times where, if I was truthful, it's hard to recognize His voice. Why? Because the world is cluttering. Because there's so many voices in my mind. I am the good shepherd. Jesus himself called him that. Why? Because he understood that we were his sheep. And you might say, well, I don't want to be a sheep. That's disrespectful to me. Well, disrespectful or not, that's what the Bible says, so get over it. We are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. Now, if we understand this, and if we understood the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep, without a shepherd, what happens to the sheep? They go all over the place. They don't get the water they need. They don't get the food they need. And they're probably going to get killed by a predator. And in the same way, when we do not follow the Good Shepherd, what happens in our lives? We don't get the food we need. We don't go where we need to go. And we'll be spiritually devoured by the enemy. Church, listen, just like a shepherd leads the sheep, the Lord is leading you and I. But here's the thing, that sheep has to follow. Now, in my research, there is something that I never thought about before. See, the way the shepherd leads is different than, for instance, a cattleman. If you've ever seen a cattle drive, how does a cattleman drive his cattle? From behind. He gets behind the cattle and he pushes them forward. Is that what a shepherd does? No. A shepherd gets in front and he leads the sheep. In the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ is not behind us, he is in front of us. He is leading. But as a sheep, what must we do? We must follow. That's our choice. It is a daily choice. Salvation is a one-time decision. But discipleship, church, is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment decision. Every day we wake up, we have to decide, who am I going to follow this morning, the world or the Lord? Am I going to let those voices dictate what I do, or am I going to let the Lord dictate what I do? No matter the age we are, no matter the situation in life, we have to make that decision. I'm thankful that we have a shepherd who leads. He cares about us enough that he wants us to follow him. He wants to protect you and I from the dangers. He wants to take us to what is spiritually nourishing for our souls. He wants us to be better mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas. He wants us to be Christ followers. But to be a Christ follower, we have to follow. Man, the Lord is my shepherd. Five simple words. But when we stop and when we think and when we understand them, I pray that we're thankful. I pray that we are thankful for our shepherd. The final thing this morning, I want to talk briefly about the second part of verse 1. If we understand and if we are thankful that the Lord is our shepherd, then something happens. A life application, if you will. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, for those of you who have children, Christmas is coming up. And I don't know about your children, but I have a feeling that they're not wanting one or two things. They're probably wanting more things than they could write on a piece of paper. Every time they go to Walmart, that list probably grows and grows and grows. Why? Because they want more. And do you know, in the same way, that's how we live our lives? We want and want and want. And for a long time, I never understood what this verse meant. What David is saying, this is very important. He's saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, because the Lord cares about me, because the Lord takes care of me, because the Lord makes sure that I have what I need, because the Lord is so good, even when everything around me is broken, I shall not want. Do you know what is one of the hardest things in this world? Being content. It is our very nature to want more. And you might say, well, how do you know that's true? Because I love buffets. I love going to Chin's Garden in Mountain Home. And when I go, I have something in my mind. I want to get my money's worth. And the problem is I'm probably going to die quicker because I live that way. I don't want one plate. I want more than one plate. And while I'm eating, every time something happens, My body tells me that's enough. You're full. You've come here. You needed food. You're there. But then something else kicks in. I say, you know what? I want to keep on going. I'm here. There's food around me. I might not eat for another hour or two. Why not eat more now? That is me not being content with what I have in my belly. And in the same way, isn't that how we live in our lives? I mean, we think about what we have, and I know different people have different things. And you can say, well, I don't have what my neighbor has. If I had what my neighbor had, I'll be content. But is that true? Probably not. If you and I do not learn to live with being content with what we have, even if it's not much, then no matter what God gives us, we will never be content. I have seen people have more cars than they can count, bigger houses than a person could ever clean, more money than they knew, and yet they still was not content. Why? Because in their soul, they did not have peace. Church, if we understand who the Lord is, and if we are thankful and not complaining, if we are thankful and not saying, Lord, give me, give me, give me, if we are thankful instead of being angry, then and only then can we look in our lives and say, God, you blessed me with so much. Lord, I have 10,000 reasons to praise you. And it doesn't start with our stuff. To truly understand who the Lord is, it starts with salvation. That alone is the number one thing that we should be thankful for. And then from salvation, man, the laundry list just goes down. Why? Because he is so good no matter our current situation. And what we have to understand is the closer we walk with him, the more we follow the shepherd, the more we recognize his voice, the more we become content with what we have. And guess what? It's okay if we just have one vehicle. It's okay if we don't have five plates of food. It's okay if our house isn't the biggest house in town. It's okay if our kids don't have everything that their neighbor has. It's okay. Why? Because life is not about stuff. One of the most humbling things in my mind is one day I'm going to be gone. And you might say, that's not humbling, that's just kind of sad. But do you know that what I have won't live on? But what I do in life, the words that I share, the testimony that I live, that can influence people for years to come. You and I, we have to understand, the more we walk with the Lord, and the more we're thankful for him, then and only then can we say, I'm content. I have enough. The world will never believe that. Because in this world, you can't be content. But in your relationship with Jesus, you can come to that place. This morning, I want us to focus on what we have. I want us to focus on our relationship with the Lord. And above all else, church, I want us to focus on the Lord as our shepherd. Not a shepherd. Not a shepherd in the past. But he is currently, in this moment, your shepherd. He cares about you and he loves you. And you matter to him. Sometimes we just need to stop in life and we just need to say, Lord, I'm thankful. Father, no more complaining, no more of what I want, but Lord, thank you. This morning, maybe we need to do that. As I pray, maybe we just need to come and just say, Lord, thank you. Maybe we have a need and we need to surrender it. Maybe we need to join the church. Whatever we need to do this morning, man, let's just do it with an attitude of thankfulness. Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Father, Lord, thank you that, Father, no matter what we're going through, Lord, you love us. Father, Lord, you came to this earth. Lord, you lived a perfect life. Father, Lord, you died. You were buried. But yet you rose again because you loved us. And you lead us. Father, and as we go through this life, Lord, we're going to have so many voices. Father, we're going to have so many challenges. But Lord, if we will just stop and Lord, just be thankful for who you are. Lord, just be thankful, Lord, that you love us. Then our wants will disappear and we'll learn to be content in this life. Father, Lord, be with us this morning. Help us to have an attitude and a life of thankfulness. In your name, amen.